This is episode 66 of the Business Growth Podcast. Hey listeners, in this episode I'm talking with Chris Laub. Chris is a copywriter, and what that means is he's able to listen to people, businesses, and understand what their message is, understand who the customer is, and then help that product sell. He's done this with a lot of different companies, including most recently on a Shark Tank product. So we're going to be talking about what it takes to really understand that customer conversation, and he's going to give away some scripts. No opt-in, nothing like that. Just a way for you guys to improve your business and the communication with your customers. So let's jump in and listen to this interview. Are you there with me, Chris?
Yes, I am here. Glad to be here today.
Awesome. Hey, it's good to hear from you. And also know that Chris is in Indonesia, so we are pretty lucky that we have a solid connection right now.
Yeah, fingers crossed it stays solid.
No kidding. So let's just take a couple seconds, if you could take less than a minute and explain who you are, and then I really want to get into like the meat of this conversation.
Okay, so my name is Chris Laub. I'm a freelance copywriter. I have been writing for my own projects since mid-2011, writing for various copywriting clients since 2015. Over the last couple of years, I've worked with Shark Tank winners, Inc. 500 companies, billion-dollar financial corporations, seven-figure internet marketers, and right now just spreading the word about helping businesses better understand the audiences that they serve.
Wow, that's a good, you know, summary to it. So the one that is going to get all of our attention, that at least for me, I was like, wow, the Shark Tank. So talk about, you know, you've got this product in hand. It's been seen by millions of people. What are you doing to help that company take it up, notch it to the next level? What kind of things are required when you've got that product and now you want to get into the big leagues?
So, yeah, that's a good question. And it's kind of interesting because almost regardless of what size you're operating at, you know, whether you are a seven-figure company that just got investment from Shark Tank, or you're like some of the smaller clients I've dealt with, you know, maybe you just broke six figures, whatever level you're at, understanding your customer base is critical to doing effective marketing. So when I was first brought on by the marketing agency that was working for this Shark Tank client, they were completely out of touch. They were in the weight loss and supplement space. They had a liquid that you would like spray into water and then you could drink it and it would help speed up your metabolism. Or they had one to help you sleep or to boost your immune system. And they had built the company off of landing a couple solid retail deals. So they were selling wholesale to Rite Aid and to CVS and all these different pharmacies, but they were not in the trenches actually talking to their consumers. They had done very little B2C sales. So when I took them on and started talking with them, they were really out of touch with who they wanted to be marketing to and what they needed to be saying to them. You know, they knew that the very cliches that they're in the weight loss industry, so they're going to be selling to women, you know, 35 to 45 who want to lose weight, but just these very, very surface level assumptions about who they needed to be surfacing. So similar to what I do with all my other clients, you know, whether they're very large or very small, was to dig into the research to help them figure out what they need, you know, what are the objections that exist in their market? You know, the weight loss space is very competitive. Consumers are extremely skeptical in the weight loss space. So, you know, what do people think about their product? Who are they actually selling to? Going deeper than just surface level demographics. So we kicked off the campaign. You know, that was basically the bulk of what I was doing for them, was this kind of high level market research, helping them to better understand who it was they'd be serving with as they started to branch into B2C marketing and internet marketing.
Okay, that makes sense. And as you were able to understand who that customer is, let's kind of go through that process a little bit. So, you know, most of us know there are tools available like SimilarWeb or Quantcast or, you know, all kinds of things that we can do, or we can even look at our Google Analytics, but really getting inside the mind of that consumer. Stepping into that conversation they have is where the gold is. So what kind of things do you do? What's that methodical process of getting into that mind of a person?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like you said, you know, getting into the mind of your prospect. I know that you have a history doing direct response copywriting, and it's kind of a cliche saying, but what, you know, as a business owner, as a marketer, what you want to be able to do is enter that conversation that's already going on in your prospect's mind. So just because I just referenced a weight loss example, we'll continue with the weight loss stuff. So you want to think about, you know, what's going on in the mind of someone who's trying to lose weight? Well, we know from statistics that people try anywhere from 3 to 4 different diets per year. We know the trends about people who sign up for gyms for New Year's resolutions, and by January 19th, something like 93% of them have failed in their New Year's resolution goal. So with this, you know, with this example that we're talking about, we're seeing a lot of frustration, you know, on top of the, you know, the whole fat shaming in society and the insecurity these people feel about their bodies. There's a lot of frustration. So we're trying to enter that conversation that's going on in someone's mind and really have empathy, you know, really have empathy for what they're going through and, you know, how they're feeling, so that you can custom tailor your marketing messages to that conversation, so that when they stumble upon your product or service, the first thing that they think to themselves is, holy mackerel, this person knows me better than myself. Or as we like to say in copywriting, you want to get to the point where you can write a page in someone else's diary better than they can explain themselves. So there are a couple ways for doing this. I have what I call the market research pyramid, which basically goes from lower level surface research to a much higher level one-on-one research, where you're getting a lot higher quality data and feedback from your market. So would you like me to, I mean, some of this stuff is really technical. I don't want to bore your readers or your listeners to death, but do you want me to kind of touch on some of those?
Yeah, let's talk through the pyramid. And I think if we get a little too off track, then I'll reel you back in.
Yeah. No, I won't go too deep on this stuff. But so basically with... what a lot of internet marketers are doing is very surface level market research. I guess before I even explain, you know, as you and I know, market research is not sexy, you know, with Facebook ads and with sales funnels and with all this different stuff. That's where all the hype is. That's where all the softwares are coming out. That's where all the information products are coming out. And this market research stuff is not remotely sexy. You're not going to see any gurus creating information products about this, but, it's the type of thing that can be done in as little as, you know, 48 hours, a week, just Monday through Friday, putting your head down and putting some work in to legitimately understand your market and the prospects that you're serving. So at the bottom of the market research pyramid, which is where, which is really as high as a lot of people go, is surface level market research. So this would be looking if, once again, we'll just stick with the weight loss example. So if you're in the weight loss industry, this would be going to a health forum and looking at the conversations that are taking place in the weight loss category or the obesity category or the fat loss category. This would be going onto health blogs and reading through the blog comments, or going onto Amazon and looking at the reviews that people are leaving on various weight loss books. So, this is what a lot of internet marketers are doing. This is actually what a lot of kind of entry-level copywriters are doing. And this is at the bottom of the market research pyramid because it's very surface level. It doesn't reflect your audience. This is external. So you're not talking to your leads, your prospects, your buyers. You're just looking at, you know, general information on the internet. So we can get a little bit into that further, but there's so much information out there, and marketers and businesses, especially the gurus and especially the businesses that are doing content marketing, are attracting different audiences. And, you know, as you know, there are sub segments and sub niches within a market. So if you're in the fitness category, there's a lot of different subsegments. There's really skinny guys like myself who want to pack on muscle. There are middle-aged women who want to lose weight. There are women who are just about to get married who want to lose weight for their wedding. So there's a lot of different sub-niches and sub-segments of these different broad categories. You know, people say I'm in finance or I'm investing or I'm in health or whatever. But what you have to understand is that that's way too broad. There's so much information and so much content being put out these days that people gravitate towards the marketing messages and content and brands that are custom tailored to their unique situation. So when you're going out there and you're just looking at this really surface level information, blog comments, Amazon reviews, etc., you have to keep in mind that that is those are just people on the internet. They don't necessarily reflect your audience, the type of people that your business is attracting with the type of marketing that you do, the type of content that you put out, et cetera. So it's better than nothing, and it can give you a surface level. Doing this, you know, looking over blog comments, looking over Amazon reviews is better than nothing. It can give you a surface level understanding of your market, but to really dig in there, to really be able to create high converting marketing campaigns, especially when you're getting into paid advertising where people are skeptical, you have to go deeper. You have to understand your prospects at a deeper level. So the next level up on the marketing research pyramid is what I call internal – oh, gosh, I'm forgetting my own system right now. Internal unpersonal. So at this level, you are talking to your prospects. You are talking to your leads. You're talking to your buyers, but it's not one-to-one. So at the very top of the pyramid, we have one-to-one interaction where you're literally on the phone or meeting face-to-face with your buyers or prospects. At this next level, we're using leveraged market research technologies. So surveys, going over your customer support tickets, going over recordings of sales calls that your sales staff has executed on or that your sales staff has held. And the reason this next level of the market research pyramid is so much more valuable is because it's internal. So because, you know, as I mentioned, brands attract different audiences. So if you can stop looking at the general, you know, information on the internet in general and start looking at the feedback that you're getting from your actual leads, prospects, and buyers, this this information and this data and feedback that you get is much more valuable because these are the people that you want to attract in the future. So by understanding them and their needs and their pain points, then it makes it dramatically easier to create effective marketing, to create content that you know for a fact is going to resonate with the people who are interested in what it is that you're selling, to create high converting sales pages or Facebook ads because you know what pain points exist in your market. You know what language your prospects use to describe your problems. So, if you want, I can spend a couple minutes explaining just some quick tactics for how your audience can execute on these, and then I can explain the top of the pyramid, which is where the most valuable data is gleaned from.
Yeah, I think that'd be really useful. Let's go over that, some of those tactics for doing that.
Okay, so the easiest thing, you know, this is the method that I've executed on for the largest number of clients because it is leveraged. It doesn't require you to get on the phone. And it's the type of thing that can be done in about one business week, about, you know, 3 to 5 days. So that is running a market research survey. So I'm sure that, are you familiar with Ryan Levesque and his ask method and survey funnel formula? Okay. So I have executed on his book Ask was really great. You know, I highly recommend if anybody in the audience hasn't read his book Ask, I highly, highly recommend it. I have executed on his deep dive survey, which is the initial market research survey in his whole process for over a dozen clients now. And pretty much every time I've executed on this, my clients have been blown away by the information that I've brought back to them. So as I mentioned earlier, a lot of businesses are basing their marketing on assumptions. They assume that because they're in the weight loss industry, that their audience is made up of men and women 35 to 45 who want to lose weight, or they are selling financial services, so their ideal client is a white male, ages 45 to 60, or like whatever it may be. Yet, when I go in and run these market research surveys for my clients, almost literally every single time, we blow my clients' assumptions out of the water. I have had clients who have been 10, 15, 20 years off in who they thought they were serving. You know, they thought they were serving men and women ages 35 to 45 when the majority of their buyers were 55 to 60 and up. So at a very surface level, you know, if you don't want to spend time getting on the phone with your buyers and prospects, if you don't have time to do this, one of the most effective things that you can do is run one of these market research surveys. So there's a whole methodology for running these surveys, and I can't go too deep into that right now. But basically, and I'm sure a lot of people in the audience have seen this, is what Ryan calls the single most important question. So this is when you've seen these surveys, you know, what is your number one biggest problem with training your dog not to pee in the house? Or what is the number one biggest obstacle you're dealing with in trying to grow your business from 6 to 7 figures? So there's a lot of different ways to phrase this question. But at the end of the day, what you're trying to identify is, what is the number one biggest frustration or problem or obstacle that exists in your market that your prospects, leads and prospects are dealing with? Because once you can identify that, and generally speaking, it's not going to be just one thing. Generally speaking, you're going to find about 3 or 4 core issues that keep popping up in the survey data. Then it makes your life dramatically easier, because now you know what products and services you need to offer to your market. Or now you know how you need to reposition the products and services that you already have to make them more attractive to your market. So typically when I'm running these research surveys, I use Google Forms. You know, it's free. People, when someone lands on a Google.com domain, they trust it. So just start off, you know, with this single most important question. What is the XYZ? What's the number one biggest problem that you deal with as a dog owner, as a parent, as a business owner, whatever it may be? And then just a couple more multiple choice questions, or, you know, those check boxes to get some more demographic information. So how old is your audience? You know, where do they live? What type of business do they have? What type of dog do they have? Just some basic stuff like that. You know, just basic demographic information. If you can use that information to better target your Facebook ads or better target your media buying, that's great. But really the bulk of the value is going to come from running that single most important question, and then just really spending a day, 2 days. I'll typically spend about 8 to 15 hours analyzing these survey responses, because when I'm done, I know, you know, pretty much everything there is to know about that market. I know what pain points exist. I know what my client's doing wrong. So just spending some time going over those survey responses will give you a really deep insight into what your market is struggling with, and what, you know, essentially at the end of the day, what they want to spend money on. You know, our businesses are built around solving problems for other people. So by asking this question and really analyzing the data to understand it, it'll give you a much better idea of what problems people have and how you can position your products and services as the solution to those problems.
Okay. Now, so the question is, if one-to-one is the best, why not skip everything else and just go to that?
That is a really good question. At the end of the day, it's laziness. You know, people just aren't willing to put in the work. Honestly, I mean, like, I wish I had a different answer for you, but at the end of the day, a lot of people just aren't willing to put in the work. They don't want to get on the phone with their leads and prospects. They think they already know it all. They think, you know, just doing the survey is good enough. So yes, you know, if I was advising someone to choose one or the other, or if it was for my own business, then I would 100% focus on getting my leads and prospects and buyers on the phone and asking them some of these different market research questions to really get people to open up. Because if you ask the right questions and you're a good listener, people will open up. You know, they'll tell you things that they don't even tell their spouse. You just have to ask the right questions. So
let's get into that. And the reason why I ask is this. So I don't know how much Ryan makes, but a lot of the people that consume the things that Ryan teaches are five-figure, six-figure, maybe some seven-figure businesses. Whereas my friends and people that I know who have eight-figure, nine-figure businesses, they're actually getting on the phone. Like my friend Scott Paul, like immediately gets on the phone. Like that's the first thing. Garrett Robbins, first thing. And these are eight, nine-figure businesses. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, if the guys at eight and nine-figure businesses take the time to get on the phone, why is that? Versus six and seven-figure guys don't, because they claim to be too busy. And so what questions, when you're on the phone, when you're doing that one-to-one, what are you doing to extract that gold? Like, what is that?
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is extracting that gold, that marketing gold that's going to give you the insights to create marketing that resonates with the people who are, you know, primed to buy your products and services. So before I answer, you know, how I execute this phone-based research, I think you actually answered your own question. You know, like you said, these guys that are running eight and nine-figure companies, they know that the first thing to do is to get on the phone with the prospects and buyers. Whereas a lot of these quote-unquote internet marketers, they want the shortcuts. You know, very much of the internet marketing industry is push button easy, get rich quick, and all this different stuff. Now, you know, keep in mind, I'm not Ryan. I don't speak on Ryan's behalf. He does encourage his students to get on the phone with prospects, and he does talk about that in his book. So this survey method is not, you know, there is one of the questions that I actually include in all of my surveys, which I took from his book and studying his materials, is if you're willing to get on the phone with us under the promise that we don't try to sell you anything, please leave your name and number so we can follow up. And I've seen almost like 75% of survey respondents will in fact leave their name and number. So, I highly recommend that people execute on this. But as far as actually doing this, what type of questions to ask when you get on the phone with someone? So it's not that much different than sales. You know, what you need to keep in mind is that you're talking to someone who doesn't know you, who, even if you promise not to sell them something, is a little bit skeptical. So I start off just by warming them up with chit chat, you know, just kind of small talk. I have a defined script that I'm going through where I get a little bit more personal with each question. But basically just say, hey, I'm so-and-so representing XYZ company. You left your name and number for us to follow up with on this market research stuff. Just want to see if we could talk for a couple minutes. And basically with every question that I ask, I'll go a little bit deeper. So starting off, you know, kind of as you know from copywriting, there's the thing that people want on the surface level. So everybody wants to make more money. Everybody wants to lose weight and have a nice body, all this different stuff. But then if you ask someone, okay, well, why is it more important to you to make, why is it important to you to make more money? What would that allow you to do that you can't do now? Well, they'll go a little bit deeper and they might start to say, well, my daughter's going to be going to college soon, so I want to make sure that I can afford for her to get a good education. And then you could say, okay, I admire that. So why is it important to you that your daughter be able to get a good education? Well, you know, my parents didn't have any money when I was growing up, and it really held me back from being able to make a solid income, and I had to take the slow way up the corporate ladder and all this different stuff. And then you would say, and you know, basically what you can do is you can just keep going. You can actually literally just keep asking the same question, say, okay, well, why is it important to you? Blah, blah, blah. And eventually you'll, you know, at the end of the day, everything comes down to feeling good. You know, these people want to feel proud of themselves as a parent. These people want to feel desired by their spouse, whatever it may be. Everything comes down to feeling good. You know, either, as we know from consumer psychology, escaping negative emotions or moving towards positive emotions. So some good questions to ask are, if I could wave a magic wand and give you any one thing, related to, you know, whatever niche you're in, related to being a better parent, related to making your dog stop peeing on the floor. If I could wave a magic wand to give you any one thing, what would that one thing be? Or if they tell you that they want to make more money, like I just said, okay, I understand that. What would having that allow you to do that you can't do now? So basically, with all of these questions, what we're trying to do is just trying to get them to open up, trying to dig to that core emotional benefit, that core emotional need, which is going to be, you know, fear or anger or sadness or whatever it may be. Just trying to identify the patterns in your prospects' responses, because that's where you really hit the marketing gold, is going, you know, rather than the surface level stuff, analyzing the surface level responses of 1,000 different people on Amazon reviews. If you can go really deep with a small number of people, like 25 or 50, eventually you'll start to identify patterns. And the same is true for the survey data. But once you start to identify those patterns, once you start to see that a large percentage of the women in your market want to lose weight because their husbands aren't attracted to them anymore. Once you see that a large number of internet marketers want to make more money because they want financial security, or maybe some of them want to buy Lamborghinis or whatever it may be. Once you start identifying those patterns, that's the marketing gold. That's when you know that you've kind of hit that pay dirt. And then all you have to do is just take that information and almost literally spoon feed it back to your prospects. So, right, you know, you and I both have some copywriting experience. I do copywriting full time. So this is when, you know, when you identify those patterns, it makes it really easy to write headlines for your Facebook ads or write subject lines for your emails, because you know the conversation that's going on in your prospect's mind. You know what they're afraid of, what they lust after, all this different stuff. So it's almost like, I call it a feedback loop, where you just analyze the data and then spoon feed it back to your prospects.
Okay. You know, that really makes sense. You know, we could go on and on, have a lot of case studies and tactics and things like that. But I think this has primed the pump pretty well for our listeners. And, mm-hmm. you know, I want to kind of summarize that understanding your customers makes a world of difference in how much the customer adopts using the product, how much they're going to tell their friends, and it also increases how many people are going to purchase it. So absolutely essential. What I'd encourage our listeners to do is to reach out to you. Maybe they can get some of those additional questions, or maybe some sample questions to ask people. And if you are too busy, I'm sure Chris and someone on Chris's team would love to be able to help out with that research and the copywriting. So would you mind telling our audience the best ways to get in touch with you and the best ways to say thanks to you?
Yeah, definitely. So the easiest way to get in touch with me right now is through Facebook. If you just type the research copywriter into the Facebook search bar, or just go to facebook.com/researchcopywriter, that is the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Okay, sounds good. And if someone reached out to you and said, hey, do you have some sample questions? Would you be able to help get them those questions or things like that?
Yep, I have got a phone script that anybody who's listening could take and, you know, get on the phone with 25 or 50 of their buyers and develop a dramatically deeper understanding of who their market is and what they should be selling to them. And I would be more than happy to share that with your audience.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. And, you know, I think that would really help people out. I want to thank you for being on the podcast today. And I want our listeners to also give you a shout out and say thanks as well.
Yeah, definitely was glad to be here. Glad our audio didn't get cut out. And yeah, thanks guys. Talk to you next time.
Take care. See ya.